The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We start with this Thursday night football. How about them Cowboys playing their third game in 12 days without their head coach last night due to COVID? Tony Pollard making plays, but it was really the defense that carried Dallas against a decimated Saints team. Micah Parsons showing us again how special he is. Good to see DeMarcus Lawrence back. As for the offense, not the prettiest, but the silver lining, a win is a win. They're scoring 10 less points per game, 70 less rush yards per game. Brian Clark, are you still as confident in Dallas, sir?
Bottom line, the Cowboys are the best team in the league because they can beat you multiple ways offensively. Defensively, they've shown they can turn the football over, be stingy when they need to, and special teams, they make game-changing plays. It's three phases of football, and they make plays in all three phases, and that's unlike any other team in the NFL. Best team in ball.
There he is, RC.
Listen, you can be wrong sometimes.
Okay.
You ain't always got to be right, Molly.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Okay.
Oh, really?
You're going to own it. He's owning it.
You really, really think that's going to slide with me? I would remind our audience.
No.
I think, when could you refresh my memory, Ryan Clark? When were you on television on Get Up in Studio? Was that Monday?
Yes, that was Monday.
Was that Monday. You dancing? Wasn't that you dancing?
Yeah,
RC, I was dancing.
RC is right. Dancing. He's great. He's great.
I'm dancing like the last
three
weeks.
That was you, right? That was you, right? And now
that was me.
What was the big deal? I was wrong. Really?
No,
that's where we going? That's where we going? You went on national TV. You went on national TV, all right, and did everything but pull out blue and white pom-poms about how right and how great you were as a prognosticator, basically being ahead of the curve, telling everybody you were right. You called out Dan Orlovsky. You called out Dan Graziano. Yeah. You called out Rex Ryan and everybody else. You said the greedy seers to beat me. I was right. And now I was like, I was wrong. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that's the same Ryan Clark.
Stephen A.
I just want to make sure. I'm just making sure it's still you.
Stephen A., here's the thing, man. When you're right as much as I am about football,
I totally get that.
It's okay to admit
it. I totally get that.
You see what I'm saying?
Somebody like you, Stephen A.,
who's proven wrong so many times on this show, you always have to defend that.
That's not true.
What you are, Stephen A., you know what you become on this show? You become a LeBron fan when it comes to the greatest of all time debate. They get so defensive no matter what you say that they feel like you hate LeBron or that you hate their take. We just think that your takes are wrong a lot. But for me to be wrong one time this year, you know what you say? It's okay, Stephen A. The Dallas Cowboys aren't playing as well. And I can admit that. I can be honest about that.
But you're not being
Dak
honest
Prescott
now.
Ain't playing at an
but
MVP
you're not being
level anymore.
You're not being honest now.
I mean, honest about what?
I think we know that I'm right most of the damn time. You know what?
I mean, what are you talking about? Right. What you right, what you lying about that right
nobody
now?
Nobody knows
Please.
That.
Right.
Please. JJ Redick just started nice TV. He come on here and kill you every week.
Did he? He's still recovering from what I had to do to him the last 2 weeks. JJ Redick apologized to me last week for being wrong. What you talking about? You better watch your mouth. Please. Let's move
RC,
on.
RC, you
Let's
know what?
On.
It was nice
way,
of you, Ryan,
Stephen
to take
Nate
an L
Smith.
So other people
That's
could
right.
feel better
Stephen
about
Nate
themselves.
Smith. But by the way, Humility is important. So let's move
my
on. Humility is important.
Goodness.
This is my goodness.
Same. I'm so grateful that I am rubbing off on you.
That's right. You are. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Did the Cowboys get back on track, though, in all seriousness, RC, last night, getting the win?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, it's about the standings, right? You don't want the Washington football team or the Philadelphia Eagles, who are both teams that shouldn't even be in the conversation with the Dallas Cowboys, to close that gap. And honestly, the Cowboys are closer to Arizona in record than they are those two teams. But when you look at this offense and the way that they were playing, they were on a pace to be the best offense in football, to have a quarterback who's in the MVP conversation, a run game that makes your knees buckle when they decide to play with physicality. We aren't seeing those things anymore. And Amari Cooper's been out for the last two games. CeeDee Lamb missed six quarters before the New Orleans Saints. But even Dak Prescott isn't as sharp as we saw him through the first half of the season. Kellen Moore isn't dialing up plays to get him wide open opportunities as he was early on in the season. And this defense is actually playing better. But we know this defense isn't stingy enough or good enough or deep enough as a roster to carry the offense against the Green Bay's, against the Arizona Cardinals, against the Tampa Bay's in the playoffs if this offense isn't playing at a high level. I think a huge piece of that is Ezekiel Elliott's knee, but I also think that the Dallas Cowboys are kind of regressing back to the mean as compared to what they were early on in the season. The best teams in football, Stephen A. already knows this, the best teams in any sport, they ascend as the season comes to a close. And when playoff time comes, they're playing at their best. I'm not seeing the Dallas Cowboys trending in that direction. And that makes me scared for one reason. I don't want to see that black cowboy hat. I don't want to see that dry cigar that he's never going to smoke. And I don't want to have to watch him wear that Stephen A. or Southern Stephen A. t-shirt. And we all know if the Dallas Cowboys get to these playoffs and lose in the first round, like it finally looks like they can again, Stephen A. is going to be unbearable to work with. And I'm not coming to work on that Monday morning if that's the case.
Couple of things. Number one, you wouldn't need to come to work. I wouldn't need anybody sitting across from me when that happens. Let the Dallas Cowboys go to the playoff game. You don't even need Molly to show up. All you got to do is light up the camera and put me in front of it. Let the Cowboys lose without winning one playoff game this year. Oh, I'm going to have a field day. That's number one. Number two, I smoke about two or three cigars a year. I don't do it often, but every now and then I pull out the cigar. You know what I'm saying? That's number two. Number three, I really, really appreciate, Ryan Clark, you showing how dedicated you are to the show. Not just to being on the show, but watching the show. Because amazingly, you simply echoed what I said in the first hour. Because I said all of those things, as Molly would confirm, about
ain't
the Cowboys.
Ain't nobody copying your take.
So check this out. So because of that, I guess that would make me right, wouldn't it? And as we sit here and we watch the Dallas Cowboys lean towards falling yet again, that's also something else I said, which would make me right. And by the way, you wouldn't see that cowboy hat had I not been right. So clearly I'm right more than I'm wrong. I'm just saying. Now let's get back to the point of the Dallas Cowboys getting back on track. Let's get back to that, okay? What do we say here? Ezekiel Elliott, that knee is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You watch him last night. He's clearly gimpy, y'all. He's clearly gimpy.
Of course.
You know, he's real.
Seriously.
Because, see, when I want the Cowboys to lose, but I don't want them to lose by that. I want everybody healthy. I want everybody in that lineup.
That's
everybody playing ready to go. You know what I'm saying? I don't want any excuses, okay? I want them all on the field, healthy, when they fall. So I'm rooting for Ezekiel Elliott to get healthy. I think the Cowboys should rest him for about the next 3 weeks at least. What's the problem? You got the Washington football team. They don't have a nickname, and they got Mr. Muffle himself, Mr. Heineke quarterbacking them. You got the Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts, who looks like a star 1 week and looks like he forgot how to throw a football the next week. And, of course, there's the Giants. I'm not going to get into that. We all know what they are.
Okay, we're
so
getting
if
Russell
you are
Wilson.
The Dallas Cowboys, okay, what's the problem with resting Ezekiel Elliott for a few weeks, especially when you got Tony Pollard, an elusive quarterback with breakaway speed in the lineup? Your offensive line can clearly pass protect better than they can run block. That's something that they need to address. How do you improve it if you never work on it? Ezekiel Elliott being out, but you still trying to run a football with Tony Pollard might go a long way towards being able to do that, okay? Gallup is back. CeeDee Lamb is back. Amari Cooper is back. You got Dak Prescott there.
Yeah.
You should be just fine. Defensively is where the question marks kick in. But still in all, Micah Parsons looking like the second coming of Von Miller.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence, yeah. You
Baller.
Know, coming back. You've got Trevon Diggs.
Yeah. Diggs.
I mean, we yep. understand it.
Yeah, it's now, all cool, but can they now, keep now, pace in the
now,
NFC? We'll
now,
see.
Antonio, I'm saying Anthony Brown.
Yeah.
That's a problem. We saw what the Raiders
Stay
did.
Stay off my dog. Let my guy live.
Wait a minute. The brother had
my guy
four.
Live.
The brother had four pass interference penalties in one game. I mean, come on.
Right.
Now, yesterday don't count because Taysom Hill can't throw the football. And by the way, when are we gonna ask the question? What the hell is Taysom Hill got a contract like that for? Is anybody gonna ask that question? You down there in Louisiana? What the hell's going on?
Okay.
Did somebody ask Sean Payton why Taysom Hill got that contract? Makes no sense. Hey, to me.
That man must be able to ball a hell of a pot of crawfish. Because I don't know why they keep giving him money.
That's all right. I understand.
A couple things. Cowboys have 9 days of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, it's Southern Steve. It's not Southern Stephen A. or anything. The name's Southern Steve.
I'm sorry.
He will
I'm
be
so
back.
Sorry.
Yep, yep.
Just make, she's right.
Just make sure we
I
have that, that,
right.
that character right. And lastly, Stephen A. is so wrong, he's right. We'll leave it there.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Breaking news into First Take. Notre Dame has a new head coach, elevating defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to head coach. Freeman, just 35 years old, will be introduced as head coach. That's Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Will coach the Irish in their upcoming bowl game. He was in his first season in charge of Notre Dame's defense, and he replaces Brian Kelly, who left to become LSU's coach earlier this week. Marcus Freeman firing up the players. Take a listen.
Nah. Okay, because you're a brand new head football coach. Yeah.
RC, I'll start with you. Do you like the hire?
I love the hire. I think it's exciting for Notre Dame. I think it keeps some continuity with him being the defensive coordinator there. Mm-hmm. You think about a guy who was a high school All-American, a big-time college football player who was actually interviewed here for LSU. This is the guy that we wanted as our defensive coordinator last year, but the family, the culture, it all didn't fit. And to make enough of an impression at a school like Notre Dame as a young black defensive coordinator to get the job is huge. But even more importantly for me, when you walk into a locker room or you walk into a weight room and the players are there and the players react that way to you, that means something. That means they feel supported. That means they understand that they have a coach who's going to do everything he possibly can to make them the best player and the best person that they could possibly be. And that is what you want in a head coach. That is what you want in the leader of a university. And so kudos to Notre Dame. Congratulations to Marcus Freeman. I think this is a huge hire. I think he's a big time star in the making and coaching. And now Notre Dame might have his coach for the next two decades.
on a lighter note, like I say, we totally agree, Ryan, and I won't I won't dispute anything that you're saying. I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are. And when it comes to football, you are. And that's why you can't really refute or debate me, because I'm usually listening to you when I make a point. So that's how I win. In all seriousness, when it relates to a subject like this, Ryan, it hits me. And it hits me on a very personal level, because one of the things that I've unapologetically been about sitting in this chair and being a general sports columnist in the newspaper industry for years is that the paucity of African-American coaches, particularly in college football, is something that I've been very, very passionate about. And the reason why is because you're more so than in any other sport, you're asking them to be leaders of men.
because of all that comes with being required, all that's required of a football player and the sacrifices that they have to make in pursuit of excellence, not just in the, not just on a football field, but in the classroom as well, in terms of their behavior, how to conduct themselves and all of that other stuff. On a pro level, you can always dismiss it as being business. Grown men are responsible for their own actions, et cetera, et cetera. But at a college program, you're looking at the leadership in place and the level of influence that they have on the young minds in terms of judging what level of excellence they may bring to the table or lack thereof when you're looking at head coaches. And the fact that African-Americans on far too many occasions have been denied these prominent positions really, really has resonated with me profoundly for decades. And so when I see a program like Notre Dame taking a guy who's never been a head coach and he's a defensive coordinator, he's only been there for a couple years, and you give him this opportunity to really continue to lead this program, because Brian Kelly is no snub now. He's no slouch.
Winningest coach they ever had.
This man has produced for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And to follow him up with his defensive coordinator and to give this man that opportunity, I think speaks volumes about Marcus Freeman. I think it speaks volume about the Notre Dame program and its athletic director. Let's give him props. And nobody's going to be rooting for Marcus Freeman more than me, because if he succeeds, if he succeeds at Notre Dame on a Brian Kelly level or takes it another notch, you have any idea what opportunities that's going to open up for African-American coaches in the world of college football? It could very well change the landscape. This is an important, important hire. And I'm proud that Marcus Freeman got it.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Marcus Freeman. I need to quickly apologize to Ryan Clark. I might have over-exaggerated. I said he's mad. We'll get to it now. So LSU has a new sheriff in town. Sorry, Ryan. Naming Brian Kelly as their new coach. Kelly was Notre Dame's, as I just mentioned, all-time winningest coach. Now joins an LSU team 2 years removed from a national title. Kelly received $95 million, a decade-long deal. Earlier this week, he addressed the fans.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans. And we will begin, starting right this minute, to put together the next national championship football team at Louisiana State University.
RC, I'll start with you. First, just your reaction right there.
Oh, I wasn't excited as those people. I saw him last night at the women's game, and, you know, when he walked out, I wasn't inspired. I didn't get up and clap. I didn't wave my pom-poms. He's a good football coach. You know, he's won a lot of football games. He was a good coach at Cincinnati. He was a good coach at Notre Dame. He's been to college football playoffs. All of those things are great. Let me say this to start. Scott Woodward is the athletic director at LSU. I think he's the best athletic director in all of college sports. Jay Johnson, our new baseball coach, was a coach at Arizona, very tenured, right? Very respected. He's been to two college World Series. We get him to come to LSU and be the baseball coach. Bishop, he was a swimming coach at Michigan. He has to come to school late because he has people swimming in the Olympics. Kim Mulkey, Hall of Fame women's basketball coach, comes over from Baylor to be the women's basketball coach at LSU. And I went to a game last night, and she walked out in a sequin butterfly blazer. And I tell you what, I stood up and cheered with her and got fired up with her for 60 minutes. And the game's only 40. And so Scott Woodward brings those type of people to LSU. Scott Woodward is a big game hunter. So I'm not surprised that Brian Kelly is now our coach. I'm also not surprised that Brian Kelly decided to be the coach at LSU. The last three coaches at LSU have won national championship. One is Nick Saban. Nick Saban speaks for himself. Les Miles is the other one. We find out later that Les Miles was running a program that was so dysfunctional, that was so toxic, it got him fired from his current job when he was no longer at LSU. He won the national championship and went to another one. Ed Orgeron, who just got fired basically for being incompetent. He coached the greatest college football team of all time in 2019. It is not hard to come to LSU and win. That's why people come to LSU from about Lake Charles to the bottom of New Orleans, right off of the I-10, 20 to 30 miles. We got some of the best players in football. If you don't believe me, check your NFL rosters. Here's my issue.
Yeah.
We had a chance to do something different. We had a chance to get a younger, more vibrant person. We had a chance that Ryan Clark doesn't have to walk over and relate to the players in that locker room because we have a coach that can. I don't think Brian Kelly is that coach. I think if we're going to judge Brian Kelly off of wins and losses, he'll be fine because everybody wins here. I don't think he's a fit. I don't think he fits the culture. I don't think he fits what this team needed to change in direction. We lost Coach Saban. We went to the Midwest. We went to Oklahoma, and we got an old white man. We lost Les Miles. We went down the Bayou, and we got another old white man. We now lose Ed Orgeron, and we went up north, and we got another old white dude. I thought it was time for a change. I thought we had an opportunity to do that. I thought we had a chance to lead the way, much in the way that Notre Dame did. And I'm not talking about hiring a black coach. Whether it's Dave Aranda, Luke Fickell, and Billy Napier, who I wanted, we had a chance to do something different, and we didn't.
I was getting ready to ask you, Ryan, what exactly are you saying?
I'm sorry, I know I talked a lot.
I wanted to ask you, what exactly are you saying? I think you answered it on the last part. So you're not talking about a black coach. You're talking about a younger coach. You're talking about a younger coach, correct?
I'm talking about not only just a younger coach, right? I'm talking about a coach that lacks the entitlement I see in Brian Kelly, because I've seen that here before, that lacks the arrogance of Brian Kelly, because I've seen that here before, that when he gets a job at LSU, the Corey Raymonds, who's the DB coach here, the Kevin Faulks, who's the running back coach here, those are the first calls you make, so you can understand what the Louisiana State University program culture is about. These are things that Brian Kelly hasn't done.
All right. I can say this, man. You know, I'll defer because you played for LSU. You live down there. You know the culture better than almost anybody. And maybe Swagoo is more appropriate to debate with you because he went to LSU too. I got to respectfully disagree with you, though. And here's where I'm coming from. You know, I got a lot of respect for what I've seen Brian Kelly do. He's won 13-40 at Notre Dame. He's won 74% of his games. He won 85% of his games at Cincinnati. And no matter how big time the Notre Dame program is, it ain't LSU. I think you would agree with me there. LSU's a special place. Mm-hmm. And so clearly it's an upgrade. And to be 60 years of age, to accomplish the level of success that he has accomplished, and to say, yo, this isn't enough for one last hoorah, whatever the word is, I'm going to take a swing at Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and the very creme de la creme a college football, Steve, and I'm going to go for it. And on top of it all, I'm just sitting there saying, like, again, if you talk
about
a black
for 95 million. Stephen A., RC, bear with me here. We got to take a commercial break. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Welcome back. We were discussing it earlier. It got a little heated. Obviously, Ryan Clark is a former LSU Tiger. Brian Kelly, the winningest coach at Notre Dame, has now taken over at LSU. And Ryan wasn't so hot on the hire, essentially saying he thought it was an opportunity to do something different. And Stephen A., you beg to differ.
Yeah, it's not a heated debate. I'll defer to RC's judgment. I'm just saying that from the outside looking in, I'm thinking about a guy that has pretty close to an impeccable resume, who wants that last big challenge. And I respect He's embracing a challenge that most people would run from because Alabama and Georgia is within the same conference. And so the path towards a national championship would obviously be far more arduous than in most other places. And when I think about Brian Kelly's, position to having won 74% of his games at Notre Dame, 85% of his games at Cincinnati before that, this is a guy that's proven he's worthy of the opportunity. Sure, you might have some young bloods. You talk about relating to the players or whatever. But there's nothing on Brian Kelly's resume that shows us an inability to relate to players because his record says otherwise. So if that's the reality of the situation and you're coming off a guy like Ed Orgeron, even though he won a national championship, who was known for having good relations with the players and what have you, and we see what happened to them the last two seasons or so, and then Les Miles is Les Miles, and we get all of that. I really don't see the problem with Brian Kelly being at LSU.
Right, I got you. So I'm going to be really quick. The first thing, I think Brian Kelly is more than qualified. The second thing, this is not about race at all to me. The third thing is this. I understand everything that you're saying, Stephen A., but you got to remember, I live 20 minutes from campus. Right. I don't get called. I don't get called for the good stuff. I don't get called to march red carpets. I don't get called to go be captains at games. You know what I get called for? I get called when the players have to march by themselves in 2020 during the George Floyd protest. Right. That's when I get called. That's when Ryan Clark has to come in and talk to the players. I get called to be the keynote speaker at the Unity March. I get called to present the diversity survey to the entire athletic department. That's when they call me. Right.
Got you.
That's when I'm brought in. So this isn't about race to me. What this is about, and I praised every other Scott Woodward hired. All those people were white people. I think they're great coaches. I think they're more than qualified. I think Brian Kelly can win at Notre Dame. I think Brian Kelly is smart to come here for $9.5 million a year. I think Brian Kelly, it doesn't matter if you have to play Alabama and Georgia during the regular season because you got to play them anyway in the college football playoffs, which he's done, and they stumped him out. So he knows he has a better chance here. All I'm saying is this. We had a guy like Billy Napier right there from ULL, right, that coached at Alabama, that's now going to be the coach at Florida, that understands this place, that told my son 4 years ago when he was recruiting him, I know you have bigger schools recruiting you, but I promise you this, I will fulfill this contract. No matter who comes to get me from ULL, no matter how successful I get, I will fulfill this contract. And he did it.
Got you.
I'm not saying Brian Kelly is a bad hire.
Right, you got to give me a chance.
I'm sorry.
You got to give me a chance to respond. I got you.
You got it.
What I'm saying to you is that a young white coach, they still would have had to call you. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that unless you were telling me it should have been an African-American, and that's not what you're saying, but if you were telling me that, I would have felt you. But if you're not telling me that, then it's about credentials to me. And Brian Kelly has the credentials. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I get that.
The last word, I'll just wrap it up by saying this. RC, you're passionate about it on multiple levels, and I respect it.
So do I.
There's another subject I want to get to. We touched on it in the first hour, and Ryan, I'll start with you. So Antonio Brown, he's made a lot of questionable decisions. Now he came out with the fake vaccination card. He already hasn't played since week 6 and dealing with that ankle injury, and now he's suspended 3 games. If you are Tom Brady and you keep giving this guy chances, how are you feeling about Antonio Brown right now?
I think if you're Tom Brady, you have reconciled with yourself who he is. We have to remember what Antonio Brown was dealing with and going through when he was in New England. And Stephen A. mentions it all the time. Tom Brady offered his home to Antonio Brown. They obviously have a different relationship. I think amongst things Antonio Brown has done in life, this one is probably pretty low on where you would start to rank his character as a man. I think more importantly, when we look at this situation, let's think about why it's a situation. It's a situation because you had someone give you a service and do work for you, and you decided not to pay them. Now, before everything blew up with Antonio Brown, I always received those calls when he would do things like this. And I would constantly tell people, I am no reporter. That is not my job to say these things, but these were things I knew. And so when we look at this situation, this is just a continuation of some behavior that has gotten Antonio Brown in trouble before. I don't think it's about what Tom Brady thinks of him. I think it's about what the rest of the world thinks of Antonio Brown from this case. He may not always be able to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, but if you're anyone else, if you're any other team, and Tom Brady's not on your team saying you want that man, would you ever accept him and would you ever take him? He's going to be all right as long as he's in Tampa with Tom. But when Tom decides to leave his side, when Tom decides to not vouch for him, where does he go then? Antonio Brown is wrong, but Antonio Brown is not off brand at all. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either, but it doesn't mean that we should minimize our level of disgust towards him. He betrayed Tom Brady. He betrayed Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians didn't want him. Tom Brady convinced Bruce Arians to want him. Remember, before Tom Brady got there, they were asking Bruce Arians about it. Or actually, even when Tom Brady first got there, they were asking Bruce Arians about it. Bruce Arians didn't want him. But nevertheless, he ultimately accepted him because Tom Brady vouched for him. And I think the key thing to point out here that's so pivotal, there is nothing preventing you from playing the game of football in the National Football League if you are not vaccinated. Carson Wentz is not vaccinated. Yeah. Kirk Cousins is not vaccinated. I think Cole Beasley and others are not vaccinated, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, you just have to go through more stringent safety protocol measures. That's it. And still, this man lied and ended up costing himself games because of it. Because he didn't give a damn about anybody but himself. And at the end of the day, you're right, it's on brand. But what's unfortunate about it is that it's a blemish to Tom Brady when you're vouching for somebody, because you're not just vouching for their ability, you're vouching for their character. And Antonio Brown has shown you, you can't vouch for his character.
I think RC said it perfectly. Tom Brady already knew what he was dealing with. We got to keep it rolling.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
My girl, Monica McNutt, here in the building, and we just talked about it, right? They played on Tuesday.
Yep.
I was expecting the Warriors to win. I was expecting Steph to go off, his worst shooting night. This time around, how do you look at this game? And also, do you look at the Suns as a real threat to the Warriors in the West?
I am so glad that you used the language real threat, Molly, because one thing on this show, we can nitpick these words. And I wouldn't use the word fear, but they are 100% a real threat to what the Warriors do in the West. In this particular game, I do not expect Steph Curry to go 4-for-21 again.
Yeah.
However, give Mikal Bridges credit for being the captain in terms of what he did defensively. However, the thing that stood out to me was the entire defensive cohesiveness of that Suns squad. It wasn't just Mikal Bridges when switches came up. Chris Paul is D'ing up, Cam Johnson, Campaign, JaVale McGee, and DeAndre Ayton did a terrific job of contesting Steph off of those screens. And they disrupted that little signature dribble handoff that Draymond and Steph had going. So I do think that this is going to be a great game. I think Steph shoots better, and I'm wildly concerned about Devin Booker's absence. So they probably split the series.
A couple of things. First of all, you know what I'm saying? I usually gotta hesitate to give ladies their props because people like you set the example or turn it against me. And then, you know, I mean, who knows what's gonna happen?
But well, do you want people that keep it real?
Well, first of all, you're not a man. Okay, so number two, Monica McNutt, you have been fabulous.
Thank you, my friend.
You keep up the great work. I'm very, very proud. Number three.
Okay, here we go.
Of course, no fear. There's no reason to fear. The Suns are legit. Monty Williams is my coach of the year. I think he's doing a sensational job. I'm looking at CP3. I'm just more proud every day. Yeah. The brother gets older and better.
Uh-huh.
He getting worse and get better.
Uh-huh.
All right, Devin Booker is a star. Mm. Even though he's not playing tonight, he is a star. Mikal Bridges had the most valuable two-point performance I've ever seen. I mean, he was everywhere. He was just sensational the other night. And DeAndre Ayton, give him props where it's due because he didn't get that contract he deserved, and he's going out there and showing that he's worthy of it. And I got mad props for him, and you know that CP3 and Monty Williams written all over that in terms of their influence on this young man's character. It's a lot to be proud of with the Phoenix Suns. They are a threat. I can't deny it. They ain't a threat to the Suns. I'm sorry. They're a threat to the Warriors, but there's nothing to fear. The Warriors are still the best team in basketball as far as I'm concerned. I believe they will prove that tonight when they avenge Tuesday night's loss because Steph Curry ain't going to shoot 4 for 21 again. You want me to tell you where fear is applicable?
Come on, let's go.
Fear is applicable when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. They're the ones who should fear the Suns. Oh. They're the ones who should fear the Warriors because the Los Angeles Lakers are on the verge of putting an emphatic exclamation point to the era of LeBron James. There is no such thing as the LeBron James era if you ain't in the finals. And the Warriors and Suns are saying, ain't no damn Lakers that's going to be in the finals. Yeah. It's going to be us. Mm-hmm. So in order for the Los Angeles, in order for the Suns and the Warriors, obviously you're going to roar right through LeBron and the Lakers in order to get there. The Lakers are on the verge of not getting the finals, and they are on the verge of any, because it ain't LeBron James' fault. When that brother healthy, we know what he brings to the table. But because of the rest of the team, the Lakers are on the verge of being irrelevant in the championship equation. When we talk about fear as it pertains to the Warriors or the Suns, fear is what we should be talking about with the Lakers.
There's not much to disagree with there.
I know.
The thing with the Lakers that is particularly frustrating for me is I would like to believe that now I have this compilation of guys who understand what it takes to win by experience or by coming up short over the course of their career. And so there would be a different level of urgency. And we just have not seen that. The idea that, yes, yesteryear's all-star team can just turn on this light switch and then maintain the energy down the stretch to go on the necessary regular season run and then avoid a nasty spot in that playoff structure is just ridiculous to me. And y'all banking on being healthy? What are we doing? Seems very dangerous.
A lot stacked against them. Monica will continue to be with us a lot as the NBA season progresses. Thanks for stopping by. We will talk to you soon. Have a fabulous weekend.
Can we talk to Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett about using their right hand?
We're going to get to that.
Just use their right hand. That's all I ask.
Herbert.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, y'all, if you enjoy making money, listen up because it's Molly's deal and we are here to get you paid. Stephen A. Smith, yes or no, and why? Jonathan Taylor, man amongst boys, 2+ touchdowns this weekend.
Yes, because he's going against the Texans.
Yeah, easy money. RC, yes or no, and why? Tom Brady, 3+ total touchdowns on Sunday. Obviously, no AB.
Yeah, he still gets it. He still gets it. You got Rob Gronkowski back. He's playing better football, and it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Stephen A., back to you. Who will have more passing yards in the battle of Burrow versus Herbert, and why? I do think Joe Mixon will be running the ball quite a bit against that defense.
Herbert, because of what you just said, you're supposed to let me answer that question. Thank you very much,
Sorry.
Molly's deal. Mixon against the Chargers defense.
Yeah, Chargers running game.
They're running game. Burrow will be running the football. Herbert will be throwing it. That's why I'll have more yards.
Sorry, messed up your flow a little there. Mm-hmm. RC, to you again, sir. More receiving yards from the Chiefs' two playmakers, Tyreek Hill, or are you going with the guy who got his swag back, Travis Kelce?
You know what? I'm actually going to go with Travis Kelce. When you look at the secondary that they're playing against, they're good on the outside. I think Travis Kelce is going to get an opportunity to work in the middle, and he's kind of starting to come back around. Travis Kelce has more yards.
Stephen A. Smith, we end on you. Same game. Will Mahomes have 3+ pass touchdowns? Yes or no?
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes against the Broncos at home.
Yeah. Because you picked against him with the Cowboys. I get it. I see what it is. All right, that'll do it for Molly's deal. Hope you all get paid. Let us know. Stephen A. did not get paid last night. I will explain. Can we please pull up that picture? There he is. So you know what? You have a great turtleneck on, so you're winning there. And I like that. This was a sad. You know, Ryan, he went to the Knicks game. The Bulls got the best of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, like, is he a black cat running around? Because every time he goes to MSG, they lose. I heard Spike was like, don't even come anymore.
That's a lie.
Well, you know what? It's not about Stephen A. going to MSG. It's when Stephen A. comes on here and he's mad at Julius Randle because Julius Randle got a technical foul. I mean, I would think that if Stephen A.'s on the court at Madison Square Garden with the way he acts and the way he talks and the way he goes at people next, he's going to get a ton of technical fouls, and they probably are going to be at the wrong time. And so the fact that he could be mad at a player for being excited about the Knicks that way, when you said Knicks fans took over the Barclays Center, I think Stephen A., his energy is bad for the Knicks, Molly. What he puts into that arena when he's there is bad for the Knicks. He should probably be a fan of another team, and it may help the Knicks win.
Wait, before you go, I need to see the picture one more time. Wait, not me. I wanted to see Stephen A. He looks so sad in the photo. If you let me explain,
we're running out of time, y'all. Can you let me explain?
First
of all, this is the third game of the Knicks for the Knicks this year that I've attended. They won the first two. That's number one. So y'all are wrong.
Okay.
Secondly, I was sitting courtside last night, and what happened was that photo was at the time the New York Knicks were down 20 and getting blown out of the Garden in the first half. They ultimately came back like my man Mike Wilbon told me they would because Thibs was going to work his magic at halftime, and they came storming back and took the lead before they lost. I will say this. Zach LaVine did come up to me before the game. I know you want us to lose tonight, but it ain't happening. Yeah. And then he went out on the court and showed me why. Zach LaVine is a star. DeMar DeRozan is a star. Billy Donovan's a hell of a coach. They got a damn good team in Chicago. I cannot front.
Stephen, I have a question for you.
I like how you're deflecting.
All I'm asking is for Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett. Could you use your right hand? I mean, all you do is you play basketball. Could you use your right hand? That's all I ask. Because Julius Randle got everything else. Everything else.
Are you the new Spike Lee?
No.
Are you the new Spike Lee?
Never.
Do you make the other team's star play better?
No.
Is that who you are now?
No.
Wait, my Ryan.
Are they going to be looking at you?
I didn't say anything.
Wait, Ryan, I have another question for Stephen A. Why do you dress better for Knicks games than for national television first take?
I don't think that's true. I was very casual last night. It's like I'm casual now, but I still look good. Yes.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.